Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to see the gloomy weather didn't keep you home this morning. That's awesome. I posted on Facebook today that don't let the gloomy weather keep you home. The sun, S-O-N, is shining at Lakeside this morning. So I'm glad you came out for some sunshine this morning. Just a few quick announcements this morning. First of all, before I forget, Matthew Meals yesterday, our great team of volunteers. We had 15 people yesterday. They served 166 hot meals yesterday.
Wow. So
thank you all very much for those of you that participated in that as well. And thank you for that. It's a great ministry we have here. Don't forget your Connect cards. I should have said that first. Drop those at the offering plate as it comes around. That's your registration for attendance and any messages that you would like to get to the office or myself. That would be the best way to do that as well. Reminder that our United Methodist men are having their breakfast next Saturday here in the Fellowship Hall at 8 a.m. If you'd like to cook, get here about 6:30-ish or so. Right back, 6:30. Not 6. 6:30. 6:30, Max always likes to get here a little early to make sure the parking lot's clear. So if they show up at 6:30, if you'd like to be a part of the cooking of our breakfast, and then we'll gather and have fellowship at 8 o'clock. So I hope all the men of the church can come out and join that as well. The pumpkin patch. Boy, Ken, you got one more day, right? I think today and tomorrow, so I wasn't counting today, but it's been a great outreach to our community. Thank you to everyone that's come out and been a help and participated with that. And thank you again, Ken, for all of your hard work. I think Ken has been here every day. Let's give Ken a hand. Someone's got to be the ramrod. That's why we put Ken in charge, because he gets it done. So thank you so much, Ken, for that service that you provide for us. Plus the many other things that you do here as well. Our joint charge conference today, that is at 4 o'clock at United Methodist Church of Palm Beaches. Everyone is welcome to that. That's not just a leadership council requirement or whatever, but I hope that the leadership council will be there. We're going to vote one more time on our charge conference documents. I think this will be the third time that we've approved them, so this new format of meeting together as a group requires us to approve these things over and over and over again. But this will be our final vote today to approve not only clergy compensation, but just the minutes of the membership items that need to be taken care of. So I hope all of you can come at 4 o'clock today at United Methodist Church of Palm Beaches. It's off Palm Beach Lane in Brandywine. It's very easy to find. I don't know if you can talk to your neighbor, maybe carpool up or whatever, but I hope you all can come. I encourage leadership council to be there as well, so we can be sure to vote and get it into the official record. So I appreciate that as well. Bruce, I'm going to introduce you. This is Bruce Kitson. He's with Congregational Vitality. Do you remember when we had the meeting with Alexis from Cases? Well, he's the man in charge of putting that together. He's up in Port St. Lucie. Bruce, we're glad that you're with us today. And we're all going to meet with Bruce. Actually, Bruce is going to be at our church conference this afternoon as well. But he's been out visiting churches. Pardon?
Pastor David, can I just say something?
Absolutely.
I opened up the bulletin and found out my last name is in your bulletin.
It is.
You folks have been praying for my son, Tom Kitson.
Wow.
Who's in the Army. Enlist him as being in Korea. This was probably Pastor Rachel that put this in here. Well, back then. He's not in Korea anymore, but he's still in the Army. He's in Saudi Arabia. And I really was touched to see you guys praying for my son for the last 10 years or more.
Yes.
That was very blessing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce. I hope we'll be seeing more of Bruce and Congregational Vitality. We're really hoping and praying that that's something that really brings some life and rejuvenates our local congregations here. So thank you, Bruce, for being with us today. We appreciate that. We've had some questions as on Laity Sunday when all the lay folks got up here. Could you put that slide up there, Teresa, with our missional giving, our outreach giving for, this is actually the 2015 numbers. We had questions about where do we actually give our money to. And these are monies that are above and beyond your regular tithing that you do. We appreciate that, of course. But this giving represented in these slides here represent what you as a congregation give above and beyond, and this is even above and beyond our apportionment. So you all are a very generous church. You can kind of just go through those. And if you look in your bulletin, you will see on the back of your sermon note page is those things listed. And as well, I would like to give you the totals for United Methodist Women, because they do their own thing, obviously. For 2015, their total missions was $5,683. And the United Methodist Men, for 2015, their giving was $2,093. So that's all monies over and above your tithing and our special offerings that we have that go back to the conference. But this is your congregational giving for 2015, and I'm sure that those numbers will be a little higher for 2016. So I think we've already surpassed some of those categories as well. So thank you all so much. And I, as your pastor, certainly appreciate your generosity towards these missions. I think that's all of our announcements for today. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
It is easy to get discouraged by the news in our community, across our country, and across the globe. Everywhere we look, we hear of violence, conflict, and injustice. Like the prophets of old, we want to cry out, "Hurry up and change the world, God." And then we look at our own lives and realize you are calling us to hurry up and change the world. As we encounter Christ in our worship time today, may our lives be transformed. May we leave this place eager to share your blessings, your justice, and your love with the world yearning for a new way of living. We seek the blessings of God in our prayer.
From 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, honor God. And the second one is from Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time.
Wow, you're 5 foot, about 6. You still got a lot of growing to do. Okay. Now then. You are 4'4". Is that everybody that like to be measured? Okay, who's going to measure? Okay, come on. You are 4'3¾". My wife. No, let's say it. Okay, don't tell her. They always put 4'11" on their driver's license because she was 4'11¾". Her whole life she never moved to 5 foot. Who wants to measure me? Yeah, you might want to. Wait a minute. If I make it easier for you, can I do this? Now make it easier.
Because Jesus even sees the short people now.
How do you know Jesus sees you? Jesus sees everything, right? So here today, I'm telling you that no matter how short you are, who's the shortest one here? You're the shortest one here. And that I would be the tallest one here? Now the Bible even tells us that the children come before us, big tall people, right? So I bet Jesus would even see you before he would even see me in the crowd. That's a pretty good feeling, isn't it? That's a good feeling. Jesus would see you. But if Jesus is always watching us, what do we need to do then? Stay out of trouble a little more? If Jesus sees us, we need to be pretty good, don't we? So that's what I want to leave you with today. No matter how tall you are or how big like me you are, Jesus sees us all equally. You buy that? You buy into that? Absolutely. You all are precious. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for these beautiful young people. I thank you for the beauty you've placed within each one of them, and that you see each one of us equally. That we are all precious gems to you. So, Father, we thank you. I pray a blessing upon these young people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Sunday school. All right. Going to Sunday school for some of you younger folks. See you guys. How are you, Rob?
Shut up.
Great to have the kids here. Amen. Amen. It's the time in our service when now we go before the Lord in prayer. We have had some concerns this week, some new things that we need to lift up. So as we go into this time of prayer, I know there's things on your heart this morning that you bring, and they will more than likely go unspoken in the bigger setting. But know that God hears your hearts and he knows what's on your hearts this morning. So here are these names we're lifting up this morning. Joyce Kruger did have her nose surgery, and Bill informed me that she's doing well from that and everything looks really good. So keep Joyce in your prayers for healing of her nose surgery. Buddy Carr as well. Buddy, we're glad that you're with us today. He's still recovering as well, Buddy. God bless you, and I hope you continue to get better. Amen. Beverly Josephson's lifting up Lenore Kappen, her neighbor who just diagnosed with stomach cancer. And she's 91 years old, so pray for Lenore. Larry Koontzman as well, he's suffering some health concerns and some housing conditions. He's falling under some tough times in his house, so we're going to try to give him some help this week and maybe get him a better place to live. So just keep Larry in your prayers as well. We do have a praise. We're continuing the praise for Sean Friend. Linda put him in this morning as well. He had a blood clot situation that now seems to have been taken care of, and we do give God the glory for that. So Linda, send our praises to Sean as well for his healing. And Ken as well, her husband. He as well suffers. I pray this morning that you feel comfortable going to God in your prayer time. So if you would, let's bow our heads and pray. Gracious and loving God, what an awesome God we serve. Father, as we talk about with the children, you see each one of us, no matter how big or small, wherever we find ourselves, Lord, you are there with us. Father, we love you this morning, and we give you the praise and thanksgiving for our answered prayers. In many instances, we have praises to sing out of people that have been transformed in their spiritual life, and their trust and belief in you, and then physical healing as well. So, Father, today we just lift up these folks that have been named out loud, and all of those that reside deep within our hearts, Lord, you know who they are. Father, today we continue to pray for our country, for our nation. One more week of political ads and rhetoric on every channel, Lord. We just pray that your divine guidance will lead us as a nation, and that the leaders you put in place, Lord, would seek your discernment in how they govern us. So, Father, I pray for whoever it is that you place in those places of power and influence, in those places of ruling over a nation. So, Father, just be with us as a country today and for the rest of this election season. Father, this morning an earthquake struck Italy once again, Lord, with the loss of life. For those of us that have friends and family there, Father, we pray for their safety. Father, we pray that as these natural disasters strike around the world in our own country, we pray people would seek you in even a deeper, more meaningful way. Father, in war-torn areas of the world like the Middle East, Syria, Iraq, Father, the refugees that are fleeing their country for just for their own lives to be spared. Father, we pray that you would guide them to a safe refuge. Father, we pray that our world could find peace. But Father, until we realize that peace will only come through you, will our world be a dark and troubled place. So Father, today I ask a blessing upon each one of us, that as we go out into our small part of the world, that we could be the light that shines in the darkness. And for our military and those serving our nation outside of our safe boundaries here in our country, I pray safety for them. I pray that they would return home to their families and be able to pick up their lives where they left them. So Father, we just pray today that we can continue to see you working mightily within not only our little lonely individual lives sometimes, but in the big picture of the world and the influence we have as a nation of believers. Father, thank you. We give you the glory. We give you the thanksgiving for where you have worked miracles in lives of people where we can see, Lord. So, Father, bless our time together this morning as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thank you.
loving God, we bring before you now our offering. We pray a blessing upon it, that it would allow us to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. See, I figured you complainers would relate to this story this morning. Hear these words. Lord, how long will I call for help and you not listen? I cry out to you, violence, but you don't deliver us. Why do you show me injustice and look at anguish so that devastation and violence are before me? There is strife and conflict abounds. The instruction is ineffective. Justice does not endure because the wicked surround the righteous. Justice becomes warped. Turning to chapter 2, 1 through 4. This is Habakkuk's response. I will take my post. I will position myself on the fortress. I will keep watch to see what the Lord says to me and how he will respond to my complaint. The Lord responds. Then the Lord answered me and said, write a vision and make it plain upon a tablet so that a runner can read it. There is still a vision for the appointed time. It testifies to the end. It does not deceive. If it delays, wait for it, for it is surely coming. It will not be late. Some people's desires are truly audacious. They don't do the right thing, but the righteous person will live honestly. Let's pray. Gracious God, let these words sink deep into our soul. Father, we're going to talk about action words today and what we need to do to receive and to recognize your word. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, good old Habakkuk. Apparently he had something to complain about, right? His oracle here gives us three prayers. He's wanting to get a word from God. Who here has waited upon the Lord to give you an answer to something? Well, only about six of you. So, okay, the rest of you get yours right away when you pray, right? Choir, everybody gets them right away. They just come and they're just always there ready. Well, old Habakkuk, he says, wait, Lord, where's your answer? Then chapter 2 tells us what he does after he prays. There's action to prayer. Did you realize that? I've said it here before. You walk into church on Sunday morning and sit down in your seat and say, what can the church do for me today? Or do you walk into your church and sit down on Sunday morning and say, Lord, what can I do for my church? Those two responses are about as far from one another as possible. Are we to come to just receive, or do we come to receive and then give out? Sunday mornings is a time to receive. I always say it's a time to get your batteries charged. Habakkuk gives us five things this morning, five action steps in our plan to receive God's word to us in God's time. Don't you hate that when someone prays for you and says, God, deliver them in your time, not theirs. God never follows my plans. Does he yours? God generally makes us stop and contemplate, doesn't he? Well, let's look at these five points that Habakkuk spoke about. We need to stand at our guard post. Stand at our guide post. Why do you think it says stand and not sit? If you fall asleep standing, the dire consequences are a little more than if you're sitting and fall asleep, right? How many of you have fallen asleep standing up? Anybody? Okay. Nobody? Bill, have you fallen asleep standing up?
Yeah.
How did it turn out for you?
I woke up.
You woke up before you hit the ground? Okay, good. It's a lot easier to fall asleep sitting down, isn't it? Now, I can do that in a minute. But if I'm standing up, that usually keeps me awake. So we need to stand at the guard post, as Habakkuk says. It doesn't say sit. It doesn't take much effort to sit, but standing does. That's an action word. We need to stand up and be ready. In Luke 11:9, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. I think if we're standing, at least we're more prepared to receive and to hear the knock. You all know the story of Susanna Wesley. She had how many kids?
19.
18. 18 children. Do you think she ever had quiet time to stop and pray and spend time with God? You know what she did? I've told you this before. Maybe you don't remember. Do you know what she did every day? She went into her little parlor room there, and she sat in a chair. Now, that's where I'm going to have to get on her because she sat down. But you know what? She had 18 children. Maybe she needed to rest. She spent enough time on her feet. And what she would do was pull her apron up over her head. Remember that story? And her children knew that when mom sat in the living room with her apron pulled up over her head, don't go in there. Leave her alone. That was her time with God. That was her time spent alone, away from 18 nagging little children. Precious little babies. You said that, Mom?
The teacher.
The teacher. All her children are precious little babies. Right? Well, Susanna Wesley took that time away from her children. And she stood, in this case, sat at the garden post. The second thing is to station yourself at the lookout tower. To stand where you can see what's going on around you. This brings to mind perseverance, right? Because you're standing there looking for something. And if you get bored like me, easily distracted, squirm somewhere else. The other, second action word is station yourself at the lookout tower. We've got to stand and persevere. We've got to stand there and keep looking. Keep doing it. Persevere. Psalm 62:5 tells us, God, the one and only, I'll wait as long as He says this. Everything I hope for comes from Him, so why not? If everything that's good comes from God, why can't we wait for it? The psalmist tells us that. Do you think the reason why we don't hear from God is because we're too busy? Who's getting sick and tired of hearing about how busy everything is? I'm busy. I'm busy as the pastor. You know I'm busy. But everyone you talk to tells you how busy they are. And I as well. I'm going to try to work on that because you know what? When people engage us in conversation, they probably are pretty sure that we can be rest assured that they know we're pretty busy. But do we brush people off? Do we push them aside because we're rushing off to the next thing to do? How many people do you think in our world just need someone to talk to? And how many times has God revealed Himself to us through someone else? All the time. God has revealed Himself to others through you. Do you think when we slow down long enough to hear someone that we aren't acting as God for them? That God has put you there at this point in time. So be aware of that. Let's try to slow down. I'm going to do my best to try that. The third thing he tells us to do is to watch. Now, most of the time when we pray that we're listening for God. Don't we always say that? When we're in our quiet time, when Susanna Wesley had the apron pulled up over her head, boy, this is the second thing we can get on her about. But I understand where she's coming from. That was her signal to her family that she needed some time. And Habakkuk tells us to watch and not just listen. Listening is a passive way to respond, right? If we're watching for something, we're watching for God to act. I know each one of you have seen God in action. Is that a true statement?
Amen.
Have you seen God in action in your lives or lives of others? Amen. It's an action word. Habakkuk says, don't just listen. Watch. The third thing he tells us is to watch. The fourth thing. My wife's pretty good at this. Time to give her a kudos once I harangued her about her bike. Sorry. See her writing back there? My wife writes things down. Now, the only bad part of that is on the way home, she'll say, what do you mean by this? And I'll say, I didn't say that. So what I say is not always what goes into your ears. You hear what God wants you to hear. A lot of the things she reads back to me that I've supposedly said, I say, boy, that's pretty good. I really wish I would have said that then that way. And I use that sometimes. But he wants us to write down our vision. You remember the scripture? It says, write it down so a runner can read it. You know what that means? Keep it simple. We're not writing a novel here that needs every descriptive word under the sun. Isn't it easier to remember things? And this is why my wife does this. Her journals are awesome. She has sermon note journals. She will keep those up to date periodically, update those, and she can go back and look at what was meaningful for her. Are many of you like me that if we don't write it down 5 minutes later, it never happened? I tell you what, sometimes I wonder if there's any sort of backstop between this year and this one. You know, I have this ringing in my ears I've told you all about. I think that stuff going in this ear now, you know, it makes a whistling noise when it goes through. I think I'm onto something here, man. Why'd you keep me in line? I said, do you hear that? She's like, what? I said, there's something running in this house. There's something whistling in my head. It's all those good thoughts just going in one ear and out the other. I'm going to start trying to plug up on the side and see if that helps. The fourth thing Habakkuk is trying to get us to do is write it down. We'll remember it. How many of you do that? How many journalers do we have? Or how many people do we have that write down things that are meaningful to them, hoping that you won't forget them? See, that's a discipline that I think we should take more advantage of. Write it down. The fifth thing. Clarify what you heard. Figure out what it was you heard and remember it correctly. Make it clear. God instructed Habakkuk to write it down. That's why we got that little gospel, that little book of Habakkuk. Because he wrote it down. And who knew all these years later that we would have a place in the Bible to go and read from just a minor prophet. He wasn't all that famous. But he wrote it down. So So people would remember and be encouraged. So keep it simple, keep it clear, and allow for God's provision in your life. God has a plan for you, a plan to take care of you. Do you trust that?
Amen.
We're praying heavily for Larry. Larry's not here, but Larry preached. Larry's found himself in a pickle. I don't think he would mind me sharing this, but his house is falling down around him. And there are others in this church that have the same issue. Larry's really finding himself in a pickle. And Larry's praying for relief from this situation. I pray with Larry about this. My prayer has turned more urgent. God, we got to do something. Larry called me Saturday, telling me what was going on with him, and it's quite awful, to be honest with you. And I hung up, I prayed, God, send somebody into Larry's life to help him. God said, I did. He called you. So I stand before you today, speaking for God. Larry needs our help. If there's any way we can rally around Larry for this help, I think we should do it. So let's brainstorm this week and try to get a solution for Larry's situation. There again, Larry's been praying for years, I'm sure, to God, relieve me from some of this stress that I'm in. And Larry's still laying over there in his bed this morning, waiting on God. I think I'll call him after church and say, Larry, stand up for a while. So there's always someone in need. There's always a plan. God has a plan for each one of us. I love this scripture that I preached on it several times, and I want to just express it to you again. And Jesus said these words, see the birds of the air, they don't spin or reap. Yet the Father above takes care of them. Aren't you worth more than the birds? Jesus explained things in a way that even a child could understand. If we can't understand it, we're making things too complicated. We need to keep it simple. So the five ways that Habakkuk is telling us to wait on the appointed time, that God will act. Number one is stand at the guard post. Number two, station yourself at the lookout tower. The third thing, watch to see what God will say. Fourth, write down what you hear. And then five, clarify what you heard. It's as easy as that, folks. That perseverance, that patience. You know, I told you I'd never pray for patience. I was on. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we gather here today, we do bring things that we need to shed from ourselves. Father, we need to keep it simple. Father, we need to rely on you. And Father, we need to give you a chance to work. Keep us vigilant. Keep us on our feet. Keep us watching and not just listening for your action. So Father, be with us today. Keep us strong in our faith, even when we're waiting on the appointed time for you. Father, we love you. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand for our closing hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Receive this benediction. Father God, as we go from this place, let us watch for you. Father, bless us now as we go from this place. Let our light shine in the world. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.